సాద్వైతం సావతూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణ పాదాంతహగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణశ్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని విధినామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే గౌరవాది ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశకారిణే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అతిశ్రీ గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది భక్తువృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో ఐమ్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ టు బీ ఇన్ యువర్ మిడ్స్ టుడే దిస్ ఈవినింగ్. How many of you are coming to such a program for the first time? Two, five or six. And how many of you have been regularly coming for several months? And how many for just a short time, maybe few weeks? Okay. Why is Bhagavad Gita important for us today? Somebody may say, well, it was spoken by Arjuna, by Krishna to Arjuna 5,000 years ago, and it is an old-fashioned thing. Now times have changed, circumstances have changed, and we need some new philosophy, some new ideology. Why these old things now for this time? This question may be asked. But Bhagavad Gita is not ordinary knowledge. Bhagavad Gita, as the very name implies, is the song of God. Bhagavad means of God, and Gita means song. So it is a message of God. God's message is always valid. Our messages may be valid today and not valid tomorrow. But God's message, our messages are always valid. Because the Supreme Lord is Himself always valid. He is always true. Therefore His words, His messages, His instructions to us, the knowledge that He gives, is also always true. When we were in school, the textbook said certain things. Nowadays, when you look at the textbooks, many of the things have changed. Even many of the theories have changed. That is because this is the ordinary knowledge of this world that is made up by human minds. However brilliant they may be, these things will change. Even a brilliant scientist like Newton or Einstein, tomorrow they may find that their theories have been changed. Somebody may say, well, it is not perfect, there is some improvement needed, or it is wrong in this way or that way. But Lord Krishna's knowledge is eternal. It will never change. For example, the Bhagavad Gita says that we are the eternal soul. We are the Atma. Now, that fact remains whether we were there 5,000 years ago or now today. So these things are eternal knowledge. That doesn't change. The fact that there is birth after death, there is different lifetimes of the soul, that doesn't change. So the basic principles of what Bhagavad Gita is speaking, those things never change. Arjuna was fighting a battle, and Lord Krishna spoke the message to him on a battlefield. He did not speak the message to him in the ashram in the Himalayas. He spoke in the middle of the battlefield, just before the battle was about to begin. So when people say that, well, today we are in the struggle for existence, we have to struggle so hard to survive, to get a good job, to earn a livelihood, to maintain ourselves. So in the midst of this struggle and battle for survival, how is Bhagavad Gita relevant anymore? If it was relevant for Arjuna in the middle of a battlefield, then why is it not relevant for us now? At least we don't have arrows shooting past our heads. So our struggle for survival is less than that of a soldier on the battlefield. In fact, Bhagavad Gita is meant for every single one of us. It is meant to make us realize what the purpose of our life is. What is the reason for this existence? Most people are so much absorbed in just doing their day-to-day activities, and they are so much absorbed in just trying to enjoy this world, they never ask this most important question. What is the purpose of my life? Everybody thinks purpose of life, if at all, is just to enjoy. Make lot of money, by hook or by crook, by any way, and then enjoy. Become a big person in the society, and do many, many things to enjoy. This is what life is about. But the thoughtful person goes beyond this. The thoughtful person starts thinking that I am working so hard to accumulate some things, and at the end of it I have to leave everything and go. So what is the meaning of all this? A thoughtful person always questions. People have a wrong impression about religion or about Bhagavad Gita. They think that this is blind faith. So you have many organizations that they say we are meant to eradicate blind faith. Andhashraddha Me Moolam Samiti. Yes? So they say belief in God is irrational. But they don't realize that to believe that God doesn't exist is irrational. So there is such a deep philosophy behind it. This philosophy is meant for intelligent people, thoughtful people. Ordinary people are not able to understand these things because we are so caught with the day-to-day struggle for enjoyment. They just cannot have the mind to understand this. If you go outside a liquor bar where people are about to drink or they are already drinking, and you go and tell them, or they're outside a cinema hall, or in some hotel where they're about to enjoy with their friends, you tell them, do you want to hear this message of Bhagavad Gita? Will they be interested? Their mind is so much preoccupied with what they want to enjoy now, they cannot put their mind to such questions and answers. But human life is meant for this. Whatever enjoyment is available in this world for human beings is also available for animals. We may be eating in a big 5-star hotel, and a dog may be eating on the street. We may be sleeping in a nice air-conditioned room in a dunga pillow mattress, and a dog may be sleeping on the road. We may be protecting ourselves with guided missiles and atom bombs and guns and so on. And the animals may be guarding themselves with their claws and their teeth. We may be associating with the opposite sex in this world in the midst of many, many other refined ideas. But the animals are also doing the same thing. They are also mating. Whatever the animals are doing, the humans are also doing. Whatever the humans are doing, the animals are also doing. The only difference is the human beings are more sophisticated in the way they do things. That is all. Today there is such a big news about man going to the moon. Man wants to go and colonize the moon. And the other day I read some article that NASA in USA is thinking about, at least sending a one-way manned mission to the manned mission to Mars. One way. Manned mission. That means there will be human beings, but only one way. Because they don't, it is too costly to come back. So they will go only one way and they will settle down there in Mars. We are planning, thinking like this now. They are not finalized, but we are thinking. But the question is, as Srila Prabhupada used to say, Whether you go to the moon or you go to Mars, what will you do there? You will create the same mess that you have created on the earth, isn't it? The mess on the earth is created by whom? Do you agree that our world is in a mess? Yes? You open the newspaper, do you see any good news anytime? The front page is always full of some scandal, some problem, some violence, some crime, some terrorism, some suffering, some problem where we have harmed the environment. It is not the animals and the cats and the dogs and the tigers who have spoiled the earth. Who has spoiled? Human beings have spoiled. And amongst the human beings, who are the ones who have spoiled it? The simple villagers who are illiterate? Who has spoiled it? The big educated people who have educated in the university with big degrees, science, technology, commerce, economics. They are the ones who have spoiled everything. Because knowledge is power. And they have used this knowledge to dominate nature, to dominate each other, to exploit each other, to exploit nature. That is why in our Vedic culture, not everybody was supposed to get educated. Only those who had a certain caliber were to be educated. And this has become a very controversial point today. They say education is our birthright, but it is not. Because if you are not qualified to receive that education, then you will mistreat and misuse that education to harm others. Just like, is anybody eligible for medical college? Yes, you are. There is no limitation as far as caste, creed, community, etc. is concerned. But is there any qualification at all? What do you think? Yes? Can anybody go to the medical college? You have to at least pass a certain standard with certain subjects. Then you have to get certain amount of marks at least. Then you have to appear for some entrance examination. So many things are there. And only then you can qualify to study medical books. Otherwise, you are not eligible to go to a medical college and study. Somebody may say, well, why this discrimination? Even though I have not received the marks, I should be allowed to study. This is discrimination. Does anybody say like that? Everybody understands that to study anything, some qualification is required. So similarly, according to the Vedic system, to get educated beyond a certain point, you had to be qualified. But that qualification was not birth. That qualification was not wealth. That qualification was not some physical strength or the influence that your father or mother had with some big politician. That is not the qualification. The qualification was your own nature. If you were by nature qualified, pure enough, to receive the knowledge and to use that knowledge properly, then yes, you could be qualified. Then you could go to the Gurukul. And even those from others would go to the Gurukul but study for a few years, and then the Guru would decide, now this one doesn't need to study anymore. He can take up his basic occupation or trade. And the other would be allowed to study more. Why is this principle there? Because knowledge is power. If a person who is unqualified, whose mind and senses are not controlled, if he is greedy, lusty, angry, envious by nature, what is he going to do with this knowledge? He is going to misuse it and harm the environment, harm other people, harm other living entities, and create an unfavorable situation. And that is precisely what has happened today in our planet. All the bombs, all the science, technology has been misused now for so many harmful things. Yes, because of science and technology, many nice things have also happened. But just look at also the harmful things that have happened. What a price we have to pay for this science and technology. Because it has gone into the hands of unqualified people. One time there was this person who was living in the desert in Arabia. He was just a small landlord, he just had a little bit of land. And in the middle of the desert there was no education, there was no anything. He was living a simple life there. He only had a camel and some little land, some date palms. That was it. His life was going on. Then one day, somehow or other, he struck some oil in his land. And then from that day on, there was no looking back. He became a multi-millionaire. So in all his land, there was so much oil that he contracted the land out and he was getting huge amount of money overnight. He became a billionaire. And then he bought a very big car, the latest model. It was a huge car and he went into the city. He had not even been trained how to drive properly in the city. He had only lived in the desert on a camel. So now he had this nice big car. And the first thing he did after starting the engine was to press the accelerator hard, because that's how he thought he was told. Press accelerator to go ahead. So the car went ahead in the marketplace and it destroyed all the shops and created havoc. So here was a person from the desert who had no idea of anything more than a camel. He suddenly was sitting inside his very fancy big car and he created a havoc. So also here in this world we have people who are not qualified to receive the knowledge because their hearts are not clean, their minds are not pure, their intelligence is not pure, their motivations are not pure, they are selfish, greedy, misguided. So when they get all this technology, which is power by which you can manipulate nature, you can manipulate so many things, they are misusing it. Misusing it to harm everybody. Because all the educated people who are actually creating the problems. And then the other people are just using whatever these other people have created in the name of advancement, in the name of progress. So today what have we done? What kind of civilization we have created? A civilization where our values and morals are crumbling, where there is no love left between people, there is no understanding left between people, where there is constantly suspicion, there is hatred, there is fighting. What kind of atmosphere have we created where people have become so selfish? Now you're reading the papers, all these scandals are going on all over the country. So many scandals. Why? People are selfish and greedy. And the leaders, for example, they are supposed to look after the praja. The raja is supposed to look after the praja, like his own children. But if the raja himself becomes selfish and greedy, then what is going to happen? So because we don't have any spiritual values or any spiritual education, so we are creating a hellish condition here on our earth. And life is becoming increasingly difficult for people to live. So therefore, even if we have all the sophisticated technology and other things, we are not still different from the animals. Because we are just doing the same things the animal is doing, but in a most sophisticated way, that is all. So therefore the Mahabharata says, Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithunam Cha Samanya Maitat Pashupi Naranam Dharmo Hitesham Adhiko Vishesho Dharmena Hina Pashupi Samanah. The meaning of this verse is that there are four things that are common to the animals and the humans. What is that? Ahar, food; nidra, that is sleep; bhaya, that is fear or defense; and maithuna, that is mating. Samanyam etat pashubhir naranam. Nar means human, pashu means animal. Samanyam etat. So these four things are common to the animals as well as to the human beings. So what is that one thing that distinguishes the human beings from the animals? Is it that man has capability to go to Mars or Moon? Is that what makes a difference? Is it that man has supercomputers and iPods? Is it what makes a difference? These things are the same thing, eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Whatever problems we are creating here, as I mentioned, we will create on Mars or in the Moon. We will kill each other there as we are killing each other here. We will destroy the environment there as we are destroying the environment here. Because the activity is the same, only the sophistication of the nature changes, that is all. But there is one thing that is different. There is one thing that makes a human being superior to the animal, and that is dharma, religion. Dharmo hi tesham adhiko vishesha. There is one adhika visheshaha. There is one extra special quality that human beings have which the animals don't have, and that is dharma, religion. By religion I don't mean only some rituals, but the whole way of life, of philosophy, the cultivation of certain values, moving towards a pure heart that is full of love for God and others, a cultivation of a spiritual consciousness. This kind of process is possible only for human beings. You may say, well, what about nuclear physics? The dogs are not doing nuclear physics. Well, what is the nuclear physics used for? Either for creating energy, and energy is used for what? Our eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Or we're using the nuclear energy, nuclear physics for making bombs. We're using for defending. So because the nuclear physics is only used for either of these two things, these four things, ahara, nidra, bhaya, vayasana, it is also part of that. So animals have their own technology. One time somebody showed me a film showing the technology in the animal world. And now in engineering there is a new field coming up, since most of you are engineering students. It is called biomimicry. Have you heard of it? How many of you have heard of this field? Biomimicry. What is biomimicry? Can you tell?
Taking knowledge from the spiders, like how they build their web, potential that we can take from animals.
Yes. So biomimicry means to mimic. Mimic means to copy that which is already available in nature. So you study how the animals, the insects, etc. are doing their things, their activities, and you copy it. Like the spider is building the web, the beaver is building his dam, the bird is building its nest. You may think these are ordinary things, but actually they are very sophisticated jobs. And when you study even an ant's colony, there are people who have done their PhDs on just studying how ants actually live. The form of communication that the ants have with each other, how they work in a coordinated fashion. Have you ever thought about this? How a colony of ants works in perfect cooperation and unison? They have one purpose, everybody is clear what they want to do. They have a particular job, and it is clearly assigned who will do what duty. How is it going on? They don't have management school there. They don't do MBA leadership training, delegation of authority. They don't study all these things. How are they communicating to each other? Okay, you do this job, you do that job. And this will be built in this way, this is the technology, you will build this, and then you will do that on top of this, and you put this on the side. How are they doing it all? People are now bewildered, studying them, and they realize that they are not just simple insects. There is some very, very superior guidance they are receiving from inside, from the heart. It is automatically programmed inside. So nature has so many miracles. Even little ants, what to speak of birds and animals, The way they do things is so sophisticated that now in modern technology we are trying to copy that. But we will of course never succeed. For example, there are some birds. Oh, why birds? Even a mosquito. Can you make an aeroplane like that? That flies like a mosquito? Nowadays you have this vertical takeoff aircraft. Few of them. But normally, the plane has to go on a runway for long distance and then take off. But there are so many birds, they go like this. The technology of aviation, flying, is all coming from studying the birds. So God has already made these things in the nature, and we are only copying these things. And then we are using it for ahara nidra bhaya vaitanam, that's all. So when you look at these things, what is the difference? They also have their technology, and in many cases their technology is far superior. But we don't realize it. Even the colony of the bees, how the bees are living together, and how they make honey, how they navigate. The bee's colony may be only this small, the hive of the bee. It may be in the middle of the forest, and one bee, each of the bees will travel for many miles away, and they are able to find that hive back in the forest, in the midst of thousands of trees. How are they able to find? Even you and I will get confused. Even to go to Bangalore, we are inside, we are so much confused sometimes, going the wrong lane. We come here, no entry, then we go here, maybe we got in the wrong lane, we go another place. And if you go into a deep, dark forest, how will you find exactly that right tree where the hive is there? And how is this one bee able to find that hive again? And not one bee, there are thousands of bees, and they all go in different directions at random. How are they coming back? All to the same place? Roughly at the same time? There are such miracles existing in nature. And still we think that we are so sophisticated because we have built some supercomputer. But these things are already programmed in nature by God. ईश्वर सर्वभूतानां हृदयस्य अर्जुनतिष्ठति ब्राह्मण सर्वभूतानां यंत्रारूढानि मायया. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that I am seated in the heart of all living entities and I am directing their wanderings. In this book, somebody gave me another book which talks about the birds, how they are flying. There are some birds that fly 10,000 miles. They fly from Greenland to South America. And every year at the right time, at the right season, they will go through the right places and they will arrive at the right destination. How do they do that? They don't have any navigation maps. They don't have anybody to ask that which is the road to the such and such place. No compass. Nothing is there. And without fail, they come to exactly the same few square miles of territory, having traveled 10,000 miles. From Greenland to South America, Greenland to Africa. How are they doing all these things? We should be thoughtful, we should think. We are thinking just because now we have some software and hardware, we have become very sophisticated. We can never beat nature. Nature is too sophisticated. God is too brilliant. Our technology is just a poor third-hand copy of nature. And still we become so proud. And our technology keeps failing. Aeroplanes will crash. Rockets will, some problem will take place. So many things happen. So God has programmed these different living entities, even at the lower species, with certain skills and certain abilities. They may not have the gross intelligence like us. The birds may not know how to compute directions and sit down, make a map, all that. But they have some instinct. Their instinct is guiding them in certain ways, like they are programmed, and they go. So the fact that we have nuclear physics technology is not anything exceptional. It doesn't make us different from the animals and the birds. But yes, because we have some advanced intelligence, we can use it for asking some good questions. We can ask some type of question. Who am I? What is the purpose of life? Does God exist? This is what life is meant for. Athat Brahma Jigyasa. Now that you have got the human form of life, you make inquiries. Kamaskinendriya Priti Labho Jiveta Javata Jivasitapti Jigyasa Natho Yascheha Karmabhi. This human life, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, is not meant for simply enjoying this body, eating, sleeping, mating. Not meant only for that. It is meant for tattva jigyasa, for making inquiries about spiritual matters, about God, about this creation in relation to God, about the purpose of existence. That is what human life is meant for, and human life begins at this time, when we begin such an inquiry. Till such time, the Shastra says we are only vipada pashu, we are two-legged animals. Sophisticated animals. Srila Prabhupada used to say that what is the use of our so-called technological progress? We are moving, the animals are also moving. The animal is running on his four legs and we are running on four wheels. But there is no difference. In Vrindavan, where I spend some time every year, there are many monkeys, large number of monkeys. And in our temples we have some large domes. So sometimes you will see that the monkey will go from the bottom right to the top. It is a great effort because so much energy has to be spent to climb right up to the top. And the monkey will go up in such a hurry as if he has some very urgent and important business to do on the top. At top speed he will go. And once he goes there, it is not that he is done, he is doing anything important. He will just look here and come back again. Not that he has achieved anything of any value. No purpose. Simply, just like that. There is one word which we can use, simply. Why is he going there? Simply. For no good reason, just a waste of energy. Similarly, human beings also. We are also not better than monkeys. We may be doing in a sophisticated way, running here and there in our cars and aeroplanes, going here, going there, for nothing. Just for this ahara nidra bhaya maitun, which you can do it in a much simpler way anyway. And which the animals are also doing. Srila Prabhupada used to say, the pleasure that the dog gets while eating is the same that the king gets when he eats in the palace. The pleasure of eating is the same. The pleasure of sleeping is the same. Sleep equates everybody. Whether it's a dog on the street or a king in the palace, when you're asleep, you're asleep. Then there is no difference between the king and the dog. If they're asleep, they are both totally ignorant. So what is the use then of all our struggle just to improve our eating, sleeping, mating and defending? What is the use of that? We have to strive for something that God has given us this body for, this human body. Nayam deha deha bhajam loke kashtam kaman arhatam vidhujam ye tapo divyam putrakaryena sattvam shuddhiyek yasmaan dharma saukhyam pranantam. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that this material body, this human body that we have received, should not be used for trying to get the pleasures which even an ordinary animal can get. But this human body is a very special gift of God, which is meant for tapodhyam, which is meant for divine austerity. It is meant for understanding some divine spiritual subject matters. Shuddhiye yasma brahma saukhyam paranta. We are meant to relish the eternal spiritual bliss because we are spiritual beings by nature. We are the Atma. We are not this body. So we are meant to realize that and enjoy some higher happiness. We are not meant to only enjoy the happiness of eating, sleeping, making and defending. No. That even the animals are doing. And at least the animals don't have to take diabetes pills and this and that. They don't have diets. Don't eat this, don't eat that. So in many ways they are doing things in a much better way, enjoying more than us. They don't have to go to jail. They don't have traffic signals. So what is the use then? So our life has to be meant for a spiritual purpose. That is why human beings are special. And if we don't pay attention to this, then what a great tragedy it will be. That is the reason we have created this tragic situation for the world today. Because man, instead of becoming God conscious, instead of using his intelligence for creating a spiritual atmosphere, for making spiritual advancement and understanding and living according to the goal of life, he is using his intelligence, his abilities, his technology, science, commerce, economics, just for selfish gain. This corruption business, why is it happening? Because people are just being selfish, greedy, and they don't care about others, isn't it? So if everybody lives like that, then what would be the condition of the world? Yatha raja tatha praja. So whatever the leaders are doing, the praja is also following. So at least in India, we are not meant to be going down to that level. This land is called Punya Bhumi. It is a land of piety. Anybody who is born in this land is a special soul because of pious activities performed in previous lives. We have got chance to be born in this land. This is a land of spiritual culture. We have so many holy places, so many holy rivers and lakes, so many holy mountains, so many great sages have lived and continue to live in this land. So many avatars of the Lord have descended here. So many great religions of the world have originated from here. So India is meant for spiritual cultivation. That is a special feature of India. So as those who are now following the educational system, the modern educational system in India, please do not forget these points. Please do not get carried away simply by your engineering or commercial studies. What you are studying in the college is your bread and butter knowledge. But that is not real knowledge. It is just knowledge that will get you a job, to get you some money to eat your dal roti. That is all. It cannot bring you happiness. If you want happiness, you have to get the spiritual knowledge. So please take this Bhagavad Gita very, very seriously. As intelligent, educated people, especially those born in this land of Bharatvarsha, it is your great responsibility and good fortune to do so. And then you will see how your life will become transformed. Then we must all become vehicles for the transformation of our society, which is now degrading so fast. We must spread the right values of the Bhagavad Gita throughout the society. And that is your responsibility because the future belongs to you. Yes? So you have to create your world. And if the world is to continue what it is today, after 20 years you can imagine what it is going to be. And you will be living there at that time. 30 years, 40 years. So we must take responsibility for the situation, for our lives and for society. This is our debt that we have to pay. The scriptures say the spiritual path is very easy. You just have to come into the company of devotees like this, hear the messages of Bhagavad Gita, chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And follow some other rules and regulations. Then just see how your life will become so much more happier and more peaceful. And you will have a sense of purpose and meaning in life. Otherwise, life, people are just going along in a meaningless way without understanding why they are living. So this is my request to all of you, and I offer my best wishes that you may take this process very, very seriously, and also convey this knowledge to your friends and so on. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Do you have any questions? Yes. Is there a mic?
Mic.
Yes, you can ask in the meanwhile. I will repeat the question.
You said in the Vedic system we used to give knowledge to only few people who satisfy some prerequisite. In a sense, if a person is greedy and lustful, he won't be given a knowledge. But in that case, if a person is greedy and lustful, the importance of knowledge becomes even more for him, because he should be given more knowledge, in a sense to improve him. So how can we debar him from a knowledge where we need to give him more knowledge?
Yes, this is a good question. The question is that it was said that a person who is qualified only receives knowledge in the Vedic culture, but if a person has many bad qualities, all the more he should receive knowledge. Now, it is not just a question of lusty and greedy. It is a question of being insufferable, or being, even if there is some desire, there is a certain culture associated with that. Like, for example, those who were the princes, the king's sons, were also allowed to go to the school. The businessmen's sons were also allowed to go to the school. The priest's sons were also allowed to go to the school. So the kind of knowledge that was imparted there was not simply the technical knowledge, but the knowledge that was imparted was knowledge of all kinds. And when that happens, in society you have a culture. A culture where even those who are not qualified by nature of their, by virtue of their nature, they are also protected. You see, we'll have to talk to answer your question a little bit about the Varnashrama system. But that means to introduce so many other concepts which may take us time to talk, because there are already so many misconceptions about the Varnashrama system. But those who are intellectuals have to spend their time mostly for studies and teaching and such things. Those who are the warrior class by nature, not by birth, they have military duties, administrative duties, and so on. Those who are by nature business type, they will do that kind of function. And those who are by nature not fitting to the above three, but have other skills and other tendencies, they fit into that category. So according to one's nature, or one's characteristics, one was given certain required knowledge. So everybody had some education, but it was a different type of education. It was the type of education that was required for that person to be happy and stable in his life. And there was also a culture where the holy people were heard and they were respected, and where the holy people also set the right kind of example, and the other kind of leaders also set the right kind of example. So even those who had bad qualities, simply by being obedient, or simply by being in that culture, actually became purified. They simply became purified. But still, there were problems, like we see in the Mahabharata, Duryodhana, Dushyasana. they were by nature evil. They also went to the Gurukul, the Vakshatriyas. But they created so much problem. But these were exceptions to the rule. By and large, people were very much obedient to the Vedic culture, to the Vedic system. So even if somebody had lower quality, simply by following the instructions of saintly persons, and there was spiritual practice meant for everybody, they would become purified. But it didn't mean that everybody had to get every kind of knowledge. Not every kind of knowledge is necessary to remove greed and such things from the heart. For example, you don't need technological knowledge to remove greed from the heart. It needs another kind of knowledge. It needs another kind of training. For technical knowledge nowadays, as we need one kind of qualification, similarly for spiritual knowledge, it needs another kind of qualification. So different types of training and education were given to different types of people. That discrimination is not there today. That is the point. Any other question? Yes. Okay.
Why should I carry this?
Okay, after this we'll come back here. You can give the mic.
Hello. Sir, why should I carry for what of Purna Janma I did, what of Papa? Why should I carry this generation? Because I went nowhere in this, but I have to carry that burden in this. Why is that,
Swamiji? Why do I have to carry the burden from the previous?
Yeah, suppose if I was a bad person, not Janma. Why should I pour for that in this Janma?
Yes, you should give it up. Let's say there is a businessman. Now there is something called an accounting year, a financial year. Yes? Are you a businessman by any chance?
No, no. No, Swamiji.
But consider as an example, a businessman. In this 1 year, he has made certain transactions. He has bought certain things, sold certain things, some money he has received, some money he is yet to receive, some money he is yet to pay in the next year. So in the next year, can he say that why should I be bound to the transactions I did in the previous year? He cannot say. He has already done those transactions. Now he is bound to pay. And he is also bound to receive. There is a connection. Once he has entered into the transaction, he is bound. Similarly, once we have performed some actions in the previous lives, we are bound to receive the reaction. But we also have a choice now of how we can act in this world. That choice is up to us. That is our free will. That we have to use our intelligence and discrimination. Yes, thank you.
In case of Mahabharata, in Vedic time, you see we used to follow Vedic knowledge. Now we don't follow Vedic knowledge, so we have created so many problems. But if you go to Vedic age also, if you take the example of Mahabharata also, we didn't have any concept of dowry. But when the marriage used to happen, there was some agreement that the son of my daughter will become the king. Then only I'll allow this marriage to happen. So it's nothing like a dowry. But what we have done is now in modern is the concept has been redefined. Like in spite of having such agreement, we have to pay some money. So what I'm saying, even if we are not following Vedic knowledge, we have problems. But in Vedic time, we used to follow Vedic knowledge. Then also we had problems. Then why was problem at that time? Even when we are following Vedic knowledge.
You see, it is not that dowry system didn't exist at that time. But there was a difference. Dowry was given by the father of the daughter willingly and to the extent of his capability. Nowadays, it is being demanded and it is a different situation now. But then, whatever was the ability of the father to give was happily given. Voluntarily, willingly. There was no force, no coercion. And there are occasions when even the men had to give. So this was just some customs and culture that was there. Because the lady, the daughter, is going to another house, the father is concerned for her welfare. So for her welfare, he would give so many things out of affection for the daughter. But it was not a compulsion. There are numerous instances when there were no dowry paid also. Coming to the second part, you see, yes, because we are living in a material world, it is not that any situation is perfect. There will always be problems. That is the whole point, that we have to understand why this material world is like this. That even in the Vedic times, there were people who were antisocial, like Duryodhana, because the nature, people of different natures are there. The Shastra says there are two kinds of people, Daiva and Asura. And always in the creation you will find these two categories of people. So only now the proportion has become more for the Asura. That's all. Otherwise, in any yuga, even in previous ages, these two classifications are there. So the Daiva are those who are more interested in godly life and they want to make advancement in spiritual life. Okay? And last question. Yes, can you give somebody else a chance? If they have, then we'll come back to you if nobody has a question. Yes.
Can you explain how a world that will be ideal one according to you?
An ideal world is one where everybody is a devotee of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna or Shri Ram or Lord Narasimha, the Supreme Lord. And one is living life according to the way that the Lord has wanted us to live, as given in the scripture. Where we understand that the goal of life is to become pure devotees and to come out of the cycle of birth and death and go back to the kingdom of God in the spiritual world. When everybody is living in this kind of consciousness, in love for God, with compassion and kindness, tolerance, forgiveness, and all the higher divine qualities, then this world will become Vaikuntha. That is an ideal world. But that is very difficult to achieve in this world, in this material world. Because there will always be people of wrong nature, of wrong disposition. But this is the ideal world. And there is such an ideal world beyond this world. That is where we have to go. That is our goal of life.
Has God ever planned this to be become ideal at some time? Or He never planned it?
Yes, as per God's plan, there are four ages. Satyayug, Tretayug, Vaparyug, Kaliyug. Satyayug is as ideal as is possible in this material world. Nothing can be more ideal than Satyayug. But even in Satyayug there are defects. But it is as perfect as is possible in this material world. But the ultimate perfection is possible only in the spiritual world. Alright? Yes. Last question we can end with you.
Swamiji, during this recession time in 2008, I was working at a construction company. And I was just below 5 years behinding, and because of the reason, they removed me. But I was in the purchase department. I had integrity, discipline, and I never used to gossip or I used to do my work diligently. But I was removed. But I could see many people who are chastobies and gossiping and don't come on time. But they were retained because only prejudice was they are Malayalis and they were above 5 years experience. Why is this Swamiji discrimination? God should have helped me out that time. And the decision was not my fault.
A recession may not be your fault, but the fact that you found yourself in a problem in recession was your fault. Because of your past karma, you were placed in a situation like that to face the reaction of some karma that was done previously. That is not to say that we don't sympathize with your position, But philosophically, this is how we should understand. Nothing happens by chance. Everything is happening because of some prior cause. Everything has a cause and everything has an effect.
But those employees who do not have integrity, discipline...
Fine, they are also having their karma. They have their karma from the past, so they were retained. But because they are doing bad karma now, they will have problems in the future.
But I will not see that.
You may not see that, doesn't matter. But justice will be done to them in right time. In the right way, the Lord will deal with His justice in the perfect way.
But I will be not enjoying that thing.
Why should you? So that means you want to be like them only.
No, I want to enjoy that and that thing. That scene, I want them to suffer like me, how I suffer.
So that is not a good thing, because then you are bringing yourself down to their level.
No, not down,
Swami. So a person, a cultured person, doesn't take happiness in the suffering of others. That is the standard of human civilization. Even if somebody has harmed you, they have not harmed you, but even if they have harmed you, you should not want their suffering. This is standard of human culture, human civilization.
No, they are
wrong. So in any case, the idea is, you know for certain, that there is karma and there is a reaction to the karma. So all these things are happening because of the law of karma. We should appreciate this point and try to read Bhagavad Gita so we will get more information on this. Alright? So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada ki.